This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
What's up, fuckers?
There we go.
I had to say it because whenever I came on, they were saying some bullshit, and I just paused for a couple seconds and then said that. So
I thought you figured out how to turn your mic on again?
No, I had no idea what you guys said.
Oh, okay. Sometimes you just turn on and stare at the screen. So.
I like doing that too, just to, you know, give you guys a second and me a second.
Keep us on our toes. I see how it is.
Instead of me saying, I'll just say anything. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I was going to say.
Hey, my percentage of saying that has gone down dramatically.
Yeah, but if we start saying it, it's going to be the power of suggestion. It's going to go back up.
No. You're going to find something else that you say, and then you're going to fucking notice it.
Yeah.
You mean like dragging out words?
You drag out words, you're kicked off.
I know.
The podcast ends.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love old people.
I did notice that the head of our division, like our branch, he does do really long ums whenever he doesn't know what, like if he's thinking about something, you can tell he's thinking because he's going, I heard it today. I'm like, this motherfucker does this all the time. I'm not going to call him out on it, but I'm going to remember that. So whenever we're at like a company outing, I'm going to like time his
see how long his longest is.
Yep.
I'm sure there's like a book or something on that tells you, you know, are they getting ready to lie to you? If it's like under 3 seconds, it's the truth. But if it's over 9, they've thought of a good lie.
Or it's like the brain calculating. If it goes too long, they've lost track of what they were calculating.
Well, there was something. This was, I don't know, a while ago, but there were news stories out there about how it's actually like a thoughtful, or like your
thoughtful pause,
like it's something almost like the stories were almost, because there were people who did it and it was like trying to support, right, their news stories on. No, it's not that they're an idiot, it's, and they don't know what to say, it's that they're being thoughtful, right, they're taking time to really think about the thing. And you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but I remember that it's just like smells like bullshit to me.
Yeah.
Wonder why comedians don't ever say
I think
because they don't have to, well, they have to make a delivery. They make a delivery.
Yeah.
And if you actually just pause and not say anything, it has a lot more like gravity. Like it hits a little bit harder.
That's well, I think a lot of that is rehearsed because they spend time honing that, because you're right. It's timing, it's delivery, the words matter. I know, you know, and I'm sure every comedian's slightly different, but I know Jerry Seinfeld has done some things where he talks about his process and he, you know, writes stuff out on paper and then he crosses stuff out, and because this is funny, but this isn't funny, or, you know, this phrase of words is funnier than how I originally wrote it, but this is what I wanted to say.
Or you prep this joke for this joke.
Right. Ron
White's really good at that. He'll prep, he'll do a couple of small jokes, and then later on, the bigger
that leads joke into
that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, but Seinfeld even talks about that too. He's like, I'm trying to set this up, so I'll say a couple funny things here. So then I come back at the end. That's what makes this whole joke funny, kind of thing.
I think that's the difference between like a, see, I'm going with ums too now. We're talking ums. I'm counting them. You do are doing ums too, Jimmy. Just because we're talking ums, I'm hearing them. what am I trying to think, like a comedy club or a stand-up night, mm-hmm. you know, the rookies, they don't have that good flow, or if you talk to them afterwards, they just sound like a normal guy. I think if you take some of the bigger comedians out there, Ron White or who am I thinking of? The Machine. I can't think of his name right now.
Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Bill Burr. Pick some of these
Eddie guys. Murphy. Somebody has been doing it.
Yeah, if they got like a decade plus, you know, 20 plus years into it, all that prep, all those years, make it so when they're talking outside of their skit, whatever you want to call it, their few minutes or whatever, now it's just, it's normal speak to them. You know, it's just has a normal flow, but that's taken 20 years of training. Joe Rogan would be another good example. Why is he such a good podcast host? Well, he's been doing stand-up for years. You know, he knows how to do delivery and questions and pauses. And even when he asks a question, it's like, if he pauses for a second, even on the podcast, it's like, well, he's either taking a puff of something or he's deep in thought for the next question. You know?
I'll say they do a lot of fillers, but they add words in. It's just kind of filler words. It's not like the same phrases repeated. They just kind of say something. And so it seems like they were actually just continuing the conversation, so it flows a lot better.
Well, and there's some things too about, you know, I've had a, listen to a few speeches or been to a few conferences where somebody's talking about using improvisation skills as a way to kind of keep conversations going. Cause you know, you never deny. So you're always saying kind of never deny, use yes. And so you're kind of keeping the train going. So if Nate or CJ would say something, I'd go, yes, and we're, well, you know, whatever. And you're just trying to, eventually it finds its way. But, you know, how can you do that in business settings to draw out people? You know, you're looking for requirements or what work needs to get done, or maybe it's a sales pitch or something like that. And you want to keep things flowing without dead air, but you don't want to just go, whatever. But two, I think, you know, another thing is when you're speaking about things that even if you're not knowledgeable, but it's more you're speaking from the heart kind of thing. And there is
better.
Exactly. Because it's genuine, it's authentic, it's real. And you're not thinking about it versus if we had a prepared, say we had a prepared monologue or prepared something at the top of the set, right before we really start going, even the ad reads that I was doing, sometimes I'm, you know, it's like I stumble through it because I'm not comfortable with it enough yet. I haven't said it enough times where, to your point earlier, Nate, where it's like, if I've been doing this for months, then it's easy.
Second but nature.
Then, exactly. But then you combine, so in setting that aside, I think, you know, when you're talking about something that you care about or at the very least it's real, maybe you're thinking on the fly, but at least it's real. And sometimes the ums and the ahs and the sort of pauses where you're trying to collect your thoughts, those sorts of things kind of drop by the wayside because you're able to articulate what you're saying and then stitch it on the way down.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, in speech class, both in high school and college, see, now that we're talking about it, I'm getting myself impromptu speeches. I wouldn't have any breaks. Give me a subject, something that I'm just like you're saying, I'll rattle off the 15 minute whatever speech it was, and I would have like no marks, no nothing. Then we'd have to do written speeches where I'd have to go research something and do whatever
and write it out.
Now I'm pausing because I'm trying to think. Yeah. Oh, we had to have this kind of memorized. I got this note, or you got the paper. And I hate speeches written off of paper. You know, those are when someone else wrote the speech and you have to say it.
Yeah.
When you have to write your own, it feels the same. It's like, this isn't genuine. Just let me talk. give me a subject that I know a little bit about or a lot about, and let me talk it out. I got this. So I was always good at improv compared to
structure.
Yeah. Couldn't do a structured speech to save my life. And then in the speech class in college, I failed all my structured ones. Every one of them. I got like D's, F's. It was horrible.
Well, it's like even in school, reading passages from a book, right? Like there's still, I would trip over myself, even though in my head I could read it, like reading it to myself, I could zip through it like nobody's business, or even reading it aloud with nobody watching, I'll zip through it. But then you throw me in front of people and all of a sudden I'm just, because you're self-conscious of reading aloud to the class, then it's like, and then I trip over my own dick for trying to read it. So,
you know, that's one of those, that was like in literature class, we'd have to read out like different, you go around the room and you'd have to read out different sections of some books. And finally I'm like, why do we read out of the book? And the teacher's like, what? I can literally read this faster than half the people in here can speak it, including myself. And that's if they say words and stuff right. And I might just lose it in context, because most of us are. Why are we really? One, we're supposed to have the book read before we get here. Next, you want us to read sections out of it
in the class. Yeah.
In the classroom. I'm like, what are you trying to teach me?
Nothing. They're just trying to take up time.
Yeah. That's basically, he had nothing. Filler. I almost failed the class because I called him out on all kinds of stupid stuff. And then I wrote like the main book. What I did, I picked some high fantasy book. I don't even remember what the name. And that didn't go into his little category of authors and books he thought we should be reading. Mm-hmm. So even though I wrote a good report on it, I only got a C, you know. Yeah. It's like, okay, this was better. But yeah, he did not like me because I'm like, what are you trying to teach me here? But it's, again, that was one of those classes. Yes, like the class, who's read a book in the, like, I don't know, what was it? It was like, in the last month, have you read a book? Raise my hand. Who's read 2 books, 3 books, 4 books? My hand's still up. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah, and you're the only one. Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading like a book or two a night. You know, weird. I was, well, sitting out on post and stuff. I had 8 to 10 hours to sit there. And if I was on a static post reading book to keep awake, it was nothing to go 300-400 pages in a night, because I had time to sit there and read and stare around and look at airplanes. You know, what else do you do if you're going to? So you sit there and knock out some books. It was like, it was nothing to read 5-6 books in a week.
Yeah.
You're still a nerd.
Yeah.
A high class nerd. Maybe a hickish nerd. Hickish nerd? No. Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I think we can make it a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think too many people would look at me now and think of me as a nerd. Yeah. But if you look at my basic training picture, I would agree with you. That picture is hopeful. No, I'm sure my mother still has one. So,
speaking of lit,
she passes, it hopefully will disappear.
Resurface. It will go with her. Yeah. Speaking of, while you were talking, that reminded me of, so in college, I started out as a business major, and then I changed to a philosophy major. That's different schools. So you had to, English requirements for business school is different than non business school requirements. So I had to, as a senior, I had to retake a freshman English class.
Oh.
English lit. And it was actually a cool class. Because there was a couple other upperclassmen. I wasn't the only one, but it was a bunch of freshmen. And then like you. Three, me as a senior, there's a couple juniors and a sophomore. And then it turns out a guy I sat next to, we both work at the same company, still do today. He started there before me, but So anyway, it got to the point where there's like a group of brown noser kids in the class where every time the teacher would ask a question, they would be first to answer. And we got kind of pissed off at them. So one time we had to read this book, Oh Pioneers by Willa Cather. I don't recommend it unless you're a huge Willa Cather fan.
It sucks.
Sounds terrible.
It was. But
it actually takes place basically around here in Iowa, Nebraska. And it is boring as it sounds. But, you know, the professor asked, what's the main point of this chapter, this section, or whatever? To your point about, oh, let's read a section in class kind of thing. And so they blurted out the answer, or they, you know, whatever, were called on first and said the answer. And we got so pissed off that we were kind of tired of their shit kind of thing. And so we came up with something. This one buddy I sat next to, he's like, how about we use this line that says it was cold? And this is actually the main point. He's like, they're wrong. Here's the main point of the whole thing. And then we started riffing off that just extemporaneously in class. So it's like, okay, cool. We just wanted to piss off those other dudes or the other whatever. Anyway, the professor looks at us and this kid blurts out the answer, what we were presenting as the main point. And you can hear it in the professor's voice. He's like, okay. Like, I think you're full of shit because that's the answer. Because they did actually provide the answer. The
answer. Right.
But then we stitched together a thing. Well, it's so hard, and life on the prairie, especially back in those days, was so hard, and it was cold, and you needed like, we just bullshitted our way to an answer. And he's like, okay, I can't lie. That's actually I don't know that I can give you full credit for that, but that's a very compelling argument. Like, and then it just became a war. Like, the rest of the semester just became a war between my table and one or two other people and that table over there on the other side of the room. It's just like the smart, nerdy kids to all these people who didn't give a fuck were here because we didn't have to take it. And then all of a sudden we have to take it. So,
right. Yeah.
Fun times.
That was like psychology for me in college. He was open. Our instructor professor was open to debate. Mm-hmm. So even if you answered a question wrong, if you could debate it to a point that it'd be plausible or stuff,
he'd allow it kind of thing.
He would. It was like, if you can convince other people, well, my psychology class at the beginning of the semester, there was me, one other guy, and like 18 girls. The guy dropped out a couple weeks later. So it was me. So I was the only guy in the classroom, and they would start up debates, just like you're saying. They'd give the correct answer. I know it. And in my smart assiness, I would pick out something, or I would even fight the opposite of what it actually was going for. And I would say about 7 to 8 out of 10 times, I could convince most of the class I was right, which screwed them over on exams because they didn't know what
it was. The right answer.
Yeah. I just convinced them.
Or the textbook answer.
The textbook answer, yeah. Another thing, psychology ended up being my favorite class. I did well, but I ended up getting a B in the class. But I was happy with getting a B in the class because I showed up for exam night, and one of the times that math actually worked for me was I figured up all my points. I had a B. If I took the final exam, it gave me like 5 points short of getting an A. If I didn't take the exam, I was like 5 points into getting a B. So either way, exam or not, I couldn't lose a grade or gain a grade. And I went in and I presented that to the instructor or the professor there. And he's like, yeah, you're absolutely right. No matter what you do, you're going to get a B in this class. I'm like, so there's no reason for me to even take the final then. Well, you need to take the final, but it's not going to help me. And he's like, you should take the final. I'm like, I can't get enough points, even if I ace this to get an A. Should. And he's like, you're right. I was like, so thank you. I've enjoyed the class. Da 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 da.
See you later.
And everybody in that room all looked at me like, wait, what? They should have ran the numbers. I didn't even have to take the final for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a fun class.
This little rant or riff that we've been going off here for a while, basically say what you need to say, right? Use language, like learn to use language, logic, reason, speak from the heart. Cause maybe it will get you out of a
psychology a final, class
or a final.
Or a final, yeah.
Yeah.
And you won't hear all the uhs and ums and everything else while we're freaking talking.
My sophomore in high school, my sophomore English teacher was this grandma of a woman, and I can't think of her name now. Miss Ahrens, I think.
She was probably 56.
Maybe, but her hair was blonde, but it was maybe gray. Like, I mean, yeah. So at the time, maybe she was in her 50s, but she looked like an old, slight TV grandma, right? Okay. Just anyway, one day in speech, we were going to be doing speeches at some point, and she said, you know, people were admittedly freaking out because, oh my God, public speaking. But it's like, finally, she's like, guys, it's no big deal. Here's a little secret. 80% of this stuff is bullshit. The other 20% is what you need to get right. And then you make up the rest. And all of us were just stunned that this grandma basically just said bullshit in an English class. Like, you know, it's more you said a bad word kind of mentality. Like, wait a minute. Are you allowed to say that? But she's so true. And that stuck with me ever since. Like, most anything is 80% bullshit. And then you got to have 20% of whatever together.
Yeah.
And communicate that.
You say that reminded me of my grandmother, who until one day, I had never heard her utter even the most simplest of vulgar words of any sort. Because, nothing. I can't remember who it was or why or whatever, but I distinctly remember. I'd had to be late teens because I think I drove up to visit or something. So I was a little bit older. And my grandma would just one day says, yep, that lady is just a real bitch. And there was like a few of us there, and we all look at grandma and it's like,
are you allowed to say that?
you don't even say mean things about, like, I mean, her worst thing
say shoot.
Nothing. It's more like, that's not a very nice person. Well, you're talking about a serial killer that went on a rampage, Grandma. Yeah. You know, that's just how she was. So it was.
Do you know what Ted Bundy did?
Exactly. But the older she got, no shit's given. She didn't care anymore. I think I've told this before, but I think this is where you know that you've truly gotten to the point that no shits are given, is when you're out at a restaurant and you're an old person and the little kid is like crying and whining next to you, and you pull a squirt gun out of your purse and shoot the kid.
Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Basically, she wouldn't say anything. She would pull out a squirt gun and she'd squirt them. It's amazing how well it worked, but you know, a little old lady might be able to get away with that.
Nowadays. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. one of us, we'd be in handcuffs. He squirted acid on me. I don't know. That was a couple of fond memories. All right. Should we hit some questions?
Sure.
Okay, CJ, what's your question? Or did you already forget?
Oh, no, I wrote it down.
Okay, what is it?
Do all music genres take the same amount of talent?
No. There you go. That's easy.
No. Okay. Sweet. Next question.
I think
did Jimmy freeze or is he just thinking?
Okay. He's thinking. He's thinking. Trying not to go
Yeah. This is the non-auditory version of it's me just sitting here.
You had the blank stare on your face, so I wasn't sure.
I think okay, if you were just to say let's take a solo person. I think the talent for two people to sing a cappella, okay, they're the same. But then take one of those people and add a guitar to it. Now you've just upped the challenge. One person now only has to learn a cappella. Next person has to learn a cappella and play the guitar. And then add in one of those guys that play like six instruments by themselves. That keeps up with it. But then take it and you add two people in there and it's a duet. Now they got to learn how to work together. If you threw instruments in, that creates more. So I think it scales up, but.
I know it's about talent, but could you say the question again?
Do all music genres take the same amount of talent?
Take the same amount of talent.
Because
I kind of like I was thinking the exact, exact same way as you, Nathan. Like, yeah, there I go.
See, we're counting them. You know, I almost wish we had like a counter that would put up a number
ding.
For each one of us in the corners. How many times
I was getting pissed off. The way I looked at it is that a rock group is probably the hardest. I mean, it probably takes the most amount of talent and patience to that because there is multiple people that would have to collaborate. And then there's the outside people. So you already got 4 to 5 to 6 people that you got to take the talents and kind of combine. And if you have one person that's in the group that doesn't have that much talent, it kind of makes the group kind of fall short.
They're the loose.
Yeah. Well, usually those are the people that get kicked out.
Right.
Well, and I'm thinking about it on a number of different levels, right? Because it's one thing. I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about making or the creation of the music part.
All of it, yeah. Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, playing, certainly there's talent that's required to, there is talent and skill, right, involved in playing instruments of any kind, of any sort. There's also skill and talent involved in writing the music, the actual notes and the whatever, the melodies and the hooks and the blah, 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 blah. And then there's also... writing lyrics on top of that is, you know, like, or I mean, not that that's necessarily the hierarchy, but just all those things together, right? Those are all just different layers of things where skill and talent matters. And another thing I'm thinking about too is, right, there are people who can learn to play a thing, whatever it is, but then there's a certain, that's skill is where I'm going with that. And then there's a layer of talent where people can make things sing in ways that, you know, other people can't. Like there's just
Jimi Hendrix.
No matter how much you practice, you wouldn't be able to touch that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sound like Jimi Hendrix. Like I'm just not. Like I'm not going to be Neil Peart drumming for Rush. Like it's
about the same Neil Peart.
You're like, I can maybe technically get it, but there's something about him. Yeah, it will be me doing him versus, I mean, you know, and that's another piece of that too, but it doesn't matter the group or the genre. It doesn't, I mean, there is, you know, some of the hooks and rap, I'm not necessarily a huge rap fan, but some of the what the guys come up with where they hear something from some piece of music, like it could be a Marvin Gaye tune or it could be something like whatever. And then they take it. And if we pitch it down and then slow it up or slow it down, speed it up, reverse it. Like there's all these crazy things. And then it like, oh, this is an awesome hook that sits in the back of this. Like, holy shit. How? Well, I've seen some videos about dudes coming up with, like, this from 1979. They just took this part, reversed it, pitched it down, and then slowed it down, and that's the backbeat to this thing. And it's like, wait, what? Like, how, like, what the creativity it took to write that. But then also too, on the flip side, you think of classical composers, Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, even, like, holy shit, how, what?
Like, right, like, well, not only did those guys write, compose, and everything, then they got a whole group of people together to make it come out and actually sound. You know, to me, it's like there's a certain talent to a barbershop quartet. They got to be all in tune, but most of the time it's all a cappella and everything. Comparing that to Bach or Beethoven, to me, that's
the entire symphony. Yeah.
The entire symphony. To me, that's, you can't, they're all fruits. You know, but this one's an apple, that one's an orange, this one's a tomato,
this is a watermelon.
Watermelon. Yeah, yeah, you could say it's all fruit, but it, I don't think you can compare them. It's, there's too many different. Or how about, oh shit,
excuse me.
When, like a Japanese artist on that flat guitar. I can't, or an Asian. I'm picturing it, but I'm thinking, you know, the way they sing or play, just that's not going to match the Rammstein or what, a Rammstein, you know, it's.
Well, and that's another thing too. Some of those speed metal, hardcore, like, I mean, it's not just being able to play fat, like some of the stuff, Dream Theater, some of those groups, like, holy crap, they're like doing, like, they're legit musicians, not just somebody in Joe's garage, you know, putting shit together kind of thing.
If you play it loud and fast, it all sounds the same, right?
Yeah. But it's more than that. Like, there's, so, you know, I think I think there's different levels of talent, but then within each thing, there's different, you know, how many people, well, over the years composed pieces of music, but we know Beethoven's. We know, like, the ones that we know or the ones that are in rotation today are the ones that survived. So how many people wrote back in the day and nobody even heard them, right? Yeah. There's all these one-hit wonders in pop and rock and rap and R&B and all that stuff too. So every once in a while, you can have a good thing, but that doesn't mean you're a fantastic.
Stay around.
Yeah.
Right.
What were you going to say, Nate?
I think you have a part of, you know, back, I was thinking back earlier to what you were saying, is you got like the karaoke guys, the ones that repeat what other masters have done. Sometimes, well, look at it like
imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Yeah. The voice with all the different music things. Really, that's just big TV karaoke that they're changing things around. It's not even, I got thinking about that one day. I was listening to some of that and I was like, really, this is just national karaoke time. It's and it's even stated in their little thing. They don't want original work. They want them to do
flair.
Yeah. They don't this. Whereas like America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent, they like original stuff because they're looking for new. So, okay, do those guys not have the talent of the big time singers? Well, some of the big time singers got their start off of shows like that, and then they improved. So some of it's skill. Maybe I'm thinking more along skill than talent. You know, you get a guy that hears, I'm thinking like the old, like a Kentucky banjoist, hears a song with the first time, never heard it before, and then just starts playing it. Okay, that's talent. You know, or you get the guy that heard the song, got the music for it, practiced it till he couldn't screw it up anymore. Well, okay, he has skill. Yeah, it's a fine.
Yeah,
it's a razor.
It's a combination. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but back to, I could play the guitar for 10 hours a day for the rest of my life, and I'll never be a Jimi Hendrix. I might be something else, but I he just had that.
Or Eddie Van Halen.
You know, or
Santana.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many Elvis Presleys are there? Thousands now. But do any of them really do it good as Elvis Presley? You know, no. Because it was another one would be like Michael Jackson. As much as people hate or dislike or love him, you know,
yeah.
He was ahead of his time on so many things. And mm-hmm. It's like, how many people are just following on his coattails? It's like,
a ton.
So, yeah. So I'm back to my original answer of no after all really? Of this debate.
It's got real no answer. I just thought it was good for debate kind of material.
Yeah. You need to, yeah, well, you need to send that question to me so I don't forget, though.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about because there are so many. Like, you could go deep in some of this stuff. Right? Like, it's, you know, classical music. I mean, there's music theory.
On this here, real quick, my problem now is, especially under the rock genre, they start adding all these other words into me, and I still put it as that's rock music.
Yeah.
Don't ad lib. It's
the rock. Subgenres.
Yeah, the subgenres. It's like, how many different versions of rock is there? Probably a thousand. I don't want to
talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like
there's metal, there's rock, there's pop. You know, whatever, like right. Way, like Phil Collins-y kind of whatever. And then there's R&B stuff and rap and country,
classical,
and jazz, country. Classical. Yeah. Like there's these like country, huge umbrellas
to me,
for almost everything else.
There's no subcategory under country. I basically dislike country. All country music. There we go. It's that's
hard pause. I hate it all equally.
Hard pause. Hard pause. There's no way. Johnny Cash. That is not just rock. That is also country.
No, but I think
that's rock country.
See, that's where you start breaking the line. It's like it's either
tell me that it's a little bit of both.
I can't really have.
Speaking of Johnny Cash, the stuff he did at the end of his life, where he was singing some of those Nine Inch Nails songs or whatever, it's song like
some fucks me up every time.
Some of those things that he did, it's Johnny Cash, but there's this haunting. I don't know. Like he just knows
about that song gives me chills.
There's almost an awareness in his own voice. Like he knows I got to get this shit out there. Cause I'm done. Like I don't have much more to go, like kind of thing. So, but yeah, it's haunting. But it's so good. And maybe because it's so real, like it's, you can feel it kind of thing.
I like when you take a heavy metal type rock singer, a screamer type, and he comes out and just does a simple Christmas song or something.
Yeah.
And you're he could be in a barbershop quartet.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, he harmonizes really. He really is a singer. And then you'd like read a bio or something. He spent like 6 years in opera school or something. And you're like,
yeah,
and Pat Benatar was sling heavy metal. Singer. And you, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Sure.
No, she went. Yeah, yeah. No, but Pat Benatar, she went to school to be an opera singer. And then ended up doing rock. And I think that's why her voice was so good, so strong. Like,
yeah, a lot of them were really good singers, but they made it and they fell into whatever group or band or something else. And you're like, impressed.
I can make money doing this. Great. I'm in. Yeah. Is it Dream? I think it's Dream Theater. Like, those dudes are legit musicians. And the pianist, the keyboard player, oh my God, like some of the stuff, just hearing him talk about some of the shit he does. And I don't even understand half of it. It's like, okay, whatever you say, boss. Like, anyway, good question. Good topic.
Yep. All right. Now, even though those weren't like deep, they weren't shallow questions, shallow comments, shallow thoughts. No. That's but we're all kind of brain dead, so I think that
we are cultural.
A lot of brain cells just now.
Bunch of cultured barbarians.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to talk trash about most genres, but it doesn't matter which one you talk about. They all have their shitload of talent in them. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Even pop. I mean, fuck. Some of those pop singers are probably some of the greatest singers. It's not like they write their stuff or produce it. But if you actually take like strip everything away, a lot of them are some of the best singers.
Yeah.
Well, and even writing some of that stuff, just just the sheer cranking out of some of those songs. Like I'm thinking somebody like Elton John or, you know, you think of some people who've been around for a while, just cranking those out over time after a while. Like, how do you sung it all already? Like,
where's this all coming from?
Yeah. What more is there?
Still making music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway,
different wavelength. All right.
It's no shit.
I don't want to go into serious questions, so we're going to go with the voting game and dumb questions instead. So we're voting between the three of us. Who could give the best toast right now? My vote goes to Jimmy G.
Jimmy.
I'm horrible at toasting, so I think he'd come up with a good bullshit.
You said it the first time. I was thinking like buttered toast.
What kind of that's what I was thinking. Toast? I don't know.
Only one of us know what the toast means.
I mean,
who would make the best toast, which would still be Jimmy G, but who could give a toast? I mean, he would win both.
I'm always hungry. What do you expect from me?
Especially because I'm trying to cut my carbs. I'm trying to cut my carbs. So toast on the brain. Yeah, bread on the brain. Yeah, that's I'll take that.
I think you would. You probably had the most. You've probably done more toast than me and CJ combined.
Never done one.
See?
So probably, yeah, because I've done a couple. So
I've done a couple, but nothing. They're all mine are short, snarky, stupid.
That's Christmas, yeah. And that's it. and then you do a shot.
I'm glad y'all showed up. Sit back down. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Who has the least amount of respect for authority?
That would be Nate.
Oh, wow. That was quick.
I mean, I
respect authority.
CJ's a close second.
I had to think about that for a second. I got to go with Nate as well.
Gosh, I was going to give it to CJ.
Damn. Like I said,
five years ago, you probably would have been right.
It's close, but respect authority. You may respect it, but you're not going to do what they say anyway. So. Let's be honest.
This is okay.
That's where I'm
to the age that you don't need to listen to people's authority. You're damn near senile.
Oh, this is true. I'm getting there. Man, I don't. Well,
okay. So what the fuck does that make me if I'm the oldest?
He's the oldest. You are senile. I'm not there yet. I got another year and a half to go. You're over the senile line. I'm almost there.
See, you have an excuse. He doesn't.
Shit. So if you're wondering, when you turn 50, that's where we're saying you start going senile, but you have an excuse. Nope, that'll be a skip it. Yeah, some of these will be skipped.
That's all right.
Who will be okay, hold on. Who will be having the most sex in a retirement home? I don't think I'll make it to a retirement home. So. But if I was a man, I don't know.
I'm going to vote for me because I'm going to try and get the script real early.
Going to have it down. Retirement home game is going to be strong walking in.
He wants to go in there at 50 is what he wants to do.
I'm flying my flag as soon as I come in. At
50, he's going to go in and be like, all right, ladies, let's get this on.
Who doesn't want to walk anymore?
I'm here to break some hips.
Oh, look, you already have a walker. Hey,
you're halfway there.
How about you come back to how about you come back to my place? Is that a low mileage walker? Yeah, I was thinking, CJ, if you got in there younger.
I'm just
like purposely trying to get in.
I'm thinking of a walker with wheels every time you tap. It slides forward. Yeah. Let me help you down the hallway.
Some of those things have brakes, so you can just make sure you apply that brake, that parking brakes.
They'll give you the little traction socks.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No slipping ever again.
No slip socks. God, that's terrible.
I'm not sure I understand this next question. Which player? Oh, it's referencing us since we're playing. Which player would make the best adult video with the players on both sides of them?
None of us.
We had to be in the same room.
The day we get patron, you'll be falling over because he's.
What the fuck? Yeah,
my answer is none of us.
None of us. Yeah, I'm trying to read that
question. That question saying that we all got to be in the same room when this is going on.
Best adult video with the players on the both sides of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, any way you go, it's a loss because
it would be me making a porno with you two.
Yeah, right. So,
I mean, ideally, this would.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to understand the question at first.
No, we can answer. We can answer this one. It's zero.
Zero.
It's none of us.
None of us. Yeah, that one's we're all in agreement on.
That will never happen.
Softest I ever been.
Yeah.
Who brings an umbrella on days with a 10% chance of rain? I don't own an umbrella.
I was voting for Jimmy either way.
That would be me.
You own an umbrella?
I do.
I don't.
Yep. You got this 100%.
Yeah. You don't own an umbrella, do you, CJ?
No. Yeah. Why the fuck would I have one?
Exactly.
I got one in the
car. It was raining today, and I didn't even use my raincoat, so if that tells you anything.
Yeah, I don't.
If anything, I use it more if I'm I'm grilling or barbecuing in the back, and it's raining, I'll still. Then I don't get just, wet.
You'll get that out. Okay. Whose Snapchat story is all over a minute long? Well, since I don't have Snapchat, I know CJ doesn't.
I do.
Jimmy, you do have Snapchat?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
How would you know that I don't if you do?
Because you do no social media hardly ever at all, but you got Snapchat.
Yeah. I Snapchat a lot of my buddies with it.
Really?
We have a group chat. Yeah.
I have Snapchat also, but I'm not really on it. I barely.
Wow. So it's a CJ on this one. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
The only time mine is ever over.
Well, he's a young minute. Pup, you know.
The only time mine would be over a minute is whenever we're on a trip. I usually don't put anything on there.
Fair.
But it's still you. Who's Snapchat?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Well, he is the youngest. I guess I should have gone that way. Who would keep their composure during a life-threatening natural disaster?
That's a hard one, Nate.
That would be my answer. I think we all would to some degree, but Nate would be the most rock solid.
Did you even imagine Nate panicking?
Shit would really have to be going sideways.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, it's one of those where it's like Armageddon, like the world is legit going to end. Mm-hmm. That's when I see Nate panicking.
I don't, but
usually, I'd probably have less panic if that show was going down. I'm like, oh, we're fucked.
Yeah, it's usually my panic meter drops the more severe something is. So I don't,
the defense rests.
I can't remember the last time I would have, besides driving through Chicago, we'll take that out of there.
Driving with
Indy, or through St. Louis.
When your son was learning to drive.
Or I'm Amish. You want to talk about panicking? I had a panic mode. It wasn't a natural disaster, but it was close. Driving down backcountry road in Amish Mennonite territory. The corn is quite tall right now. And I was taking my time when every time I come up to one of these country roads, I was slowing down. And it's a good thing, because if I had been going just the speed limit, I'd have hit a horse. Here comes little Amish guy, little horse wagon with his whole family and the whole thing. And I saw the horse, but the corn was blocking him. And I know he was trying to get it out past. But people don't think about it. There's this big ass horse in front of the wagon. They got to have the horse go out into the road so they can see around the corn. I was doing everything. I'm glad I was empty. I was trying to stop. I was like, one thing I will not hit is a horse. I'll run over coyote, deer, freaking. It'd kill me, but I'd run over a dog first or something, you know.
And a horse.
If they're, you know,
it was your dog or a horse.
I would not hit a horse. No, it was a horse. It was like a full size, one of them big ass horses that they
use. I'm saying, like, you got to hit one, your dog or a horse.
I would put it in the ditch.
I would die.
But I would still probably hit the dog. Or are you saying my personal dog?
Yes.
Your own dog.
Oh, personal dog. I would go to the ditch if I could. But if I had a choice, it'd be the horse. But yeah. But a horse is going to kill you. A horse, you know,
especially some of those big draft horses.
Oh. Yeah.
Good night.
It wasn't one of the little quarter runners. It was like the step up from there. It was like a little bit for pulling. What am I thinking? It wasn't like a Budweiser horse. It was like a step down, corn but it's staff. Still a puller. Yeah. I almost hit a damn horse. Holy crap. That's probably my ass puckered on that one trying to get that truck break because it's country road. Chipped and yeah.
God, there's nothing like being on a country road and something pops out of you because you're not expecting it.
With whatsoever. All the corn and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Going around those big turns. You know, where it's just like a big fucking bank.
Big curve. A big bend. God. Yeah. Yeah.
God, there's nothing scarier than that shit. Especially on have you done that on a gravel road?
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck. There's a couple out here that they your actually...
back can't start sliding?
If you go slow enough, it'll start sliding. Yeah. It's so fucking scary, especially with our trucks, the flatbeds with, like, weighted down. If we're going, we're fucked.
Good night, yeah.
Okay.
Especially when it was really dry, I couldn't see shit.
Oh, because it's so dusty on top of it. Yeah. Yep.
Trying to go slow but fast enough and trying not to kill the person that's coming the other way because I couldn't see him anyways. God, here we go.
Let's go over a lifetime on this one. So not current time, over lifetime. Who would frequently leave their number for the wait staff at restaurants?
Like
if you would leave your phone number for the waitress or a bartender,
it before?
I've tried to think about it. I've only probably done it two or three times, so I wouldn't say I don't know. I'm not frequent. Yeah. No, Jimmy.
Nah, CJ's. Probably
CJ has it.
I don't know how many times I've done it, but
has it been more than three?
Probably. Fair. So there was a couple times with B-Dubs we actually got the waitress to come hang out with us after.
Oh, nice.
And she would hang out with us, eat, and then go out with us.
Nice.
Oh, I got to ask it. Who has a Costco size pack of expired condoms? No.
Condoms. Not it.
Exactly. That's why I'm reading this. I'm like, well, that's not a
problem. They're expired. Well, it's probably not wrong because they're probably all expired.
So it would be CJ because they're
expired. Although, I mean,
I was going to use in high school, right?
Because of college. He did a total of 4 years of college, so maybe in a box someplace there's still a bag from.
Yeah, there's... Well, yeah. Actually, I was thinking because of the divorce, you could make that argument, but no, there's no...
But those aren't expired, then.
I don't have any. Yeah.
This, no, okay. I'm laughing because it's like, who would be most willing to kiss the person to the right? Yeah, not going to happen. I don't know. Unless I'm really messing with you, that's not going to happen. So who's the most terrified of the dentist?
Me.
I was going to say CJ. I'm not terrified of him, but I don't like going.
Yeah, I haven't been since I was like 20.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I probably should go because I keep hearing about it. I have my teeth. I'm not saying they're perfect, but they're there.
They're there. Yeah, whatever. There you go. Seems like every time I go, they want to pull another one out.
That's why I don't want to go.
Yeah.
It's like, so if you never go, you never have to.
Isn't that great fucking logic? If I don't go, they don't pull any.
I mean, it
works for me.
Not necessarily wrong.
Who always takes the little shampoo bottles home with them when they stay in a hotel?
That used to be me. I don't do that anymore. I'd take it.
So you did do it?
I used to.
Have you done it?
Me?
They're providing it for me.
Yeah, the other guy.
I'm gonna take it.
I've taken a few, but
yeah. I barely ever used them.
I never used them, but I felt like I paid for it, so I would take them with me. And I was usually after the little soap bars because those fit perfect for when I was going camping and stuff. I wouldn't use it there necessarily, but it was like, well, this would be perfect to throw in my little luggage or whatever. So I was more after the soap bars than I was after the shampoo.
Mm-hmm. I think if I stole anything, I would take towels.
Yeah, but they'll charge you for those if they can figure it out that you did.
But I haven't taken anything, so I barely ever use their shit. I usually bring my own.
I want to steal like the robes. That's, yeah.
I have never used a robe.
You've never stayed
in my robe. No, I've never used a robe in my life.
No.
Oh, you've never like just laid in a fluffy robe? Man, you're missing out. Yeah.
I'm an underwear kind of guy.
That's not the point. It's like wrapping up in like the nicest, softest blanket or whatever. It's comfortable. I'd rather walk around naked with a robe on than anything else. If I didn't have a little Alex here, I'd just be in a robe and I'd be set. It's like, oh, I just want to dangle. I can't, you know. But yeah, soft, fluffy robe in the morning with a cup of coffee. Perfect. Yeah. It's almost like sitting around naked. Almost. You're missing out, CJ. You need a fluffy robe.
You need a fluffer.
There you go.
When you say fluffer, I think of the porn fluffers.
That's exactly what I...
I knew that's where you were going.
That's where I was going.
Who would you hire to plan your best friend's wedding?
Nate.
I was going to go Jimmy.
I'm going Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking food.
That motherfucker's gonna be extravagant.
Yeah, food is gonna be the win. Food and drinks.
Healthy drinks.
Is
celery gimlets.
You got it, celery gimlets.
Lowering your cholesterol while upping your alcohol intake.
Yeah. You're good at toast. We already talked about that. Yeah.
Like buttered?
Exactly.
Not buttered. Only buttered toast, but toast. Also toast. Cheers, yeah. Toast.
Yeah. Cheers, toast.
Okay.
We know you're good with food, drinks. Yeah.
Yeah, I could plan. I could plan a shindig.
I think you could. I would be horrible at planning a wedding because I despise them. So, and I mean, even
the one that we're planning now, I just okay things.
Yes, yes, no, no, yes, that's
fucking
no.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's a good job to have.
Yeah,
that's a good job to have.
He's like, no.
She knows that if I planned it, we would never do it.
Who has vomited in the most awkward place?
That's got to be Nate.
I may
maybe CJ.
I don't know.
CJ, I was trying to think.
I know. Can you remember CJ? I actually remember an incident. So,
well, if you tell me yours, I might.
You might be able to one up it.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it wasn't quite. What it was like a week within I got married, we were out camping, and I may have had a little bit too much to imbibe. And before we went from where the tavern where we were at to back to the campsite, we stopped off in the woods to have some fun. Well, you shouldn't have fun when you're full of alcohol because you start shaking that up. I would say that was awkward because. Yeah, right over her shoulder. It just
you got me.
Yeah, I've never puked on somebody during sex. That's
wait. Did it get on her or did it go straight over?
No, it was like over the shoulder, down, and we were it was bad. Ugh. Hey, I felt so much better and I slept good that night. I got laid and got rid of the alcohol, so it was a win-win. Now, looking back, I just find it really humorous because it's it took me a few years, but now I look back and go, oh, I'm kind of glad I did that. It's like
something off the bucket list.
Yeah,
you got there you go. Beat by a mile. I've had a couple that were not, I'm not proud of, but yeah, that one.
Yeah, same here.
But oh, I gotcha. Yeah. I have the winner on that one.
Wait, okay. I gotta ask, have you guys had the one where you like, you're gonna puke, but you put your hand in front of your mouth and it goes out the sides?
Yeah.
That's a fucking every time. I've done it once in public and that was no fun. I had a buddy, it was just like right out of high school, that he did it all the way down the hallway and you could see it on both sides.
Because you're trying to contain it.
Yep. Yeah. You want to be courteous, but the just fucking projectile is gone.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Next one. I don't want to think about puke anymore.
Who would put pop brownies out in their church bake sale?
CJ.
I'll take that one. I can't say I haven't had similar thoughts of doing similar things, but I haven't done it yet.
Who has hired a professional to make their dating profile? I'm going Jimmy G.
I would give it to him as well.
That's fair. However, I have not.
Yeah, but I would go with you're the only one that's
okay. Hold up.
And you're a professional.
I was about to say, hold up. Tell me that you haven't researched on how to make your dating profile better or use tips.
Does in-app tips count?
Any kind.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
You're the only one that's used a dating profile.
I have.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Just this week.
It's the kid thing, you know?
I don't know why you think a lot of this is so surprising.
I don't know. Because sometimes I forget how much younger you are. Of course you've had
it. By the way, for our listeners, I'm only 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like 10.
You see you now.
You're 10.
Yep.
Oh. Who will?
Nate, do you think like I'm 45 or some shit?
Some days I do, and I forget. I do
because I just assume we're all around the same age.
Yeah,
like, might as well.
I feel like we're all the same age, but there's times I forget you're 20 years younger, and just like the Snapchat,
young
pup. I don't know how to. Yeah, I couldn't operate that if I needed to.
Like I would explain it to my grandma the same way I would explain it to you.
Exactly. Neither one.
She doesn't have a cell phone.
Neither one of us would understand it.
No, that's my point.
See, I like this one better. I know. Who will climb Mount Everest?
Will.
Who do you think will? I'm going with none, but I would really love to. I'm too old,
because that's pricey too, right? Like
I think
these days, not even the plane ticket to get there, but to do the thing.
The other thing is, I think they've too commercialized it. Like they've got it set up where, oh, okay, you hook up with this crew, we'll put you with these guys, we'll give you all the air, all the stuff, all the technology. Now there's still a really good chance you can die, but
it'll be comfortable.
But yeah, you're living in basically a tent that's a house. I mean, there's a lot of suck to it, but they've commercialized it. So the almost the thrill of climbing it has been lost for me.
Yeah, it's like formulaic. Yeah, to be sure. Yeah.
So
there's probably other mountains I'd rather do.
Yeah, I agree. Who has read the Bible cover to cover?
Haven't you, Nate?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nate would be my choice because I know for sure. But I have also read it.
You have.
Cover to cover.
Yeah, cover to all those too. CJ, have you ever read like even a section of the Bible?
I've been to church like 3 times. Does that count?
Do you own a Bible?
I do own a Bible.
Did you take it from the hotel room?
No.
Yeah.
You know how many hotels I've ever been to?
Well, true. You're usually camping, aren't you?
Camping or staying in somebody else's or Airbnbs.
Yeah.
I could probably count on just over one hand how many times I've stayed at a hotel.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Probably like 6 or 7 times.
And 2 or 3 of those were with Jimmy G.
Yeah, Nashville.
Oh shit! Yeah, that too. Oh yeah, probably less than 10, probably around
less than 10. That's it. Yeah. I've stayed in so many hotels.
Same here.
Yeah.
Most of the times, whenever we go somewhere, we stay with somebody. You know, like I said, we
somebody.
I wouldn't travel there unless I had someone to stay.
Yeah.
I just don't really like hotels.
These days, it's even more of an expense over and above anything else, any other issues. I mean, it's, gone are the days where they're like $30 rooms for a decent, like back when I was a kid, for a decent.
Oh, room. You could get the $25, $24.99 special or $24.95 special. And it was like, and you'd still get a full breakfast and have access to the pool.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Now they want $225, and
you're lucky if you get a bed.
Yeah, you stayed at one in Kansas, and it was like $50 for a night.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, you should have saw the place. It was bad.
It was bad.
But even back in the day, like you could stay at a roadside hotel, motel, like a mom and pop, whatever, for $20 or whatever it was, and it was still pretty decent. It wasn't like a piece of shit. Like today, like you, to your point, CJ, today you stay at a place like that and it's like, welcome to the Bates Motel
meth over there.
Yep, they are. CJ, we're out of this next one. This is so Jimmy G. Whose cooking would impress Gordon Ramsay? Yeah.
I don't know.
It's neither of us.
But I suppose I have the best shot of the three.
I would say. I think you make some stuff that would impress him.
Yeah. So you try.
You know, I think that it's almost like presentation. Even with him, I think he's so built up, put on a pedestal, that I think more people could impress him than people give him credit for. It's one of those things, oh, I don't make good food as good as him. I bet you make, hell, those...
the beef, skewer things
that I make. Skewer things. You know, you probably make more food that I would like than he does.
No, that's fair.
If you watch some of his actual stuff, I mean, you know, a lot of the TV stuff, they hype up the drama, but a lot of the times I've seen him like on YouTube and stuff, he's actually just a normal dude, but they hype him up. They like take those bits and pieces where you're yelling at people instead of complimenting people. He's probably more even keeled than what the general public think.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those people are. Yeah. And I've seen a couple of videos like him making food, and it was quite
simple. He's not snobbish.
No, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
think he's not as arrogant as the persona he's tried, like he's kind of created for reality, the reality TV stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't like pretty food. Even if it tastes good, I don't like. If you bring me out a plate that has a sliver of meat and a little sauce and a color with dots,
and it's this and a flower or something
of artwork.
Is this a fucking joke?
And then I gotta take chopsticks or something to freaking eat the thing, and it's like a bite, and it costs $180 for it. To me, it's like, give me a freaking ham. I don't like pretty. If I see pretty food, I already detest it just because it's freaking pretty food. I don't want to eat pretty food.
I just get this image of some deconstructed hamburger, but the burger is like this small little cut of like it, you know, it's maybe the size of a dime, and then a little crouton almost as the. And then the ketchup and mustard and this artsy-fartsy
in design. Onion sliced chunk. Yeah.
Like a green onion, like just one little slice. And then, you know, I don't know, some fry, but it's like, it's potato, but it's like three perfect little potato sticks. I think that'd be hilarious. Just the look on your face.
I'm doing burgers.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, I'm doing.
This is a burger.
Where's the other? Like,
where's the beef?
8 ounces.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's?
It's A5 Wagyu.
Yeah. So it'll be $250. And a brioche crouton with potato slivers and a whatever they call it of ketchup and mustard, like some fancy thing for ketchup and mustard.
Fancy sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's
a tomato puree swipe and mustard swipe. Yeah, you can't call it.
You know, can you look up $100 words? That's a good question. You got to use what classifies as $100 word. You know, it's like
bifurcate, orthogonal.
Give it to me in a sentence.
So, if we create this separate branch, then we'll have bifurcated code. Basically, that means we'll have, you know, you're splitting it apart. Orthogonal is often the context I hear it in is basically statistically independent, having variations which can be treated as statistically independent. There is a guy He's one of our head architects. Super like legit super genius. Some of the stuff that he comes up with, or the things he talks about is not even, I mean, he can speak English, but that's, I can follow along, but I start going. Anyway, we used to have a bingo card, not physically, but like a virtual in our heads. There's a group of us that had conversations regularly with this dude. Orthogonal was one. Bifurcate, opine. And then there's one or two other where he would, if he used those in a meeting, you'd win bingo.
Bingo.
Wow.
He looks like he's 17. He looks like Doogie Howser. I mean, a brunette, dark haired version of Doogie Howser. Like, he looks like he's 17, even though he's so close to my, like, he's, yeah. He's a slight man. He looks like a kid to me now, but now he's got more of a beard and stuff. So it's less so, but if he shaves that, he just has these youthful features. So, but yeah, he uses $100 words all the time.
And you're like, yeah, I would
English. Just give it to me in English.
Yeah.
I can follow along, but just middle class language, please. Blue collar language.
Nothing above a 10th grade level.
Yeah. Could you use 3-syllable words? Like, just give me 2-syllable words. I'm good. It doesn't have to be one, but just, can we stop using 5-syllable words? Yeah. But he's a good guy. He's a good egg.
You know, so, if I had to work with someone like that, I would bring the Scrabble dictionary with me.
Yeah, remember it for.
I would just bring it to each meeting. Yep. I'd sit there, and then when I'd hear a word, I would intentionally start going, "What do you? Yeah. How do you spell that? What? Hold on, I'm marking it. I got my post-it note.
Orthogonal, O R T H A O.
Yeah. Can you spell that word backwards?
I can't spell it forwards.
You can't spell the word backwards?
Oh, fuck you.
Cookie goose there. And on that note,
yep, that's where we're in for this week. Until next time.
Yeah, $100 words.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast on our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Janz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.